So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I believe that I have a word for you this morning. I checked the forecast, and it's supposed to start raining after 2 o'clock. But I feel that there are clouds all around us. A spiritual cloud. That I believe that God is getting ready to rain on your life. Now, I'm not just talking about just church talk today. I'm not saying this because I'm the preacher. That's what I'm supposed to say. No, I've really been stirred in the last few weeks. And I believe that at some point in time during this sermon today, that God is going to speak to your heart that you're going to make some things right with Him. Well, preacher, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. Yeah, one of the great theologians says that the Christian life is a life of repentance. It is a life of getting a little closer and closer to the Lord every time that we have the ability to. You know, when I first started reading the Bible, I was a little offended. Because God called David a man after his own heart. And David was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He was a liar. But man, there's one thing that can't nobody beat David on, and that is repenting. Can't nobody repent like David. David would say, "My sin is ever before me." David would say, "Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Renew a right spirit in me. Create in me a clean heart." Man, he knew how to repent. And so it is not, you know, I watched a video. I told some of you, I watched a video last week or sometime during the week. And one of the videos said that this gives you the idea of what people think. She said she was talking to a street preacher, and I don't agree with street preaching. I mean, you know, do whatever you want to do, but I don't know how you're going to get people saved and tell them about the love of God by telling them everybody's going to hell. Because I've been the recipient of one of those street preachers, and I wasn't going to hell. But he still said I was. Well, after I whooped his tail, he didn't think no anymore. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. But here's what she said. She said, "Jesus died so that I could sin." That is not why Jesus died. Jesus died so that you wouldn't have to pay the penalty for your sin. And so that you could walk no longer in sin. He told the woman who was caught in adultery, he said, "Where are your accusers?" She said, "There are none." He said, "Neither do I accuse thee. Go and sin no more." Bump your neighbor, say, "You might have picked the wrong Sunday to be here. But don't leave now because they're taking names." In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, and just stay there, but I want to read our text from Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Tonight is the night of worship. People are going to be worshiping and singing, and you come and be a part of it. Come and lift up your hands and give praise unto God. When you get to Isaiah 55, say amen. If you don't plan on turning there, say, "Go ahead." Lord, save these heathens. Isaiah 55 says this: "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way talking about the wicked's way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, here's really where I'm taking my text, verse 10. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Glory to God. For you shall go out with joy. My God, somebody hear me. You shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the fields shall clap their hands. And the church said, amen. Amen. I believe that God is desiring to send the former rain and the latter rain in the same season that the Bible talks about in Joel chapter 2, 23, speaking of a powerful revival. And this text is talking about planting rain and harvest rain together. It's speaking about a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I'm believing for a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that the gully washer of His Spirit will be in such a way that it washes out, it reaches into every crack and crevices and drowns the rodents in our life, that sweeps away all of the trash that has been accumulating in our life, that it will sweep it out to sea. Can you say amen? I want to say that we are not waiting on a move of God, but we are the move of God. I believe that God at some point in time today, that you're going to get back on track. You're going to get your heart right. You're going to decide that your marriage is worth fighting for. You're going to turn around your marriage. You're going to get into a revival, because I see a cloud on the horizon. I see God about to do something. We've been on the precipice for quite some time, but I feel the heaviness of the rain that God wants to pour down. I believe that children are going to come back to their parents and husbands to their wives, and God's going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the sons and the sons back to the fathers. I believe that God is going to give the backslidden the opportunity to get things right, and a revival is going to happen in your family in the name of Jesus. If you want that, would you lift up your hand and just say, Lord, do it in my life. I'm declaring for financial freedom. I'm declaring for freedom in your spirit. I'm declaring that you are free from religiosity, free from addictions, free from pornography, free from addictions, free from whatever it is that you need free from. I'm believing that God's doing it. Now let me give you a little backstory before I get into the body of the message. We have in 1 Kings chapter 17, I know I told you to go to 18, but in chapter 17, we have a man by the name of Elijah who really just kind of showed up unannounced. In 17, it said Elisha the Tishbite didn't even give his last name. Didn't tell who his mama was, who his daddy was. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I don't need a pedigree for God to use me. I'm glad that God don't need a pedigree for God to come in and move on me just like he did Elijah. Come on, somebody. The Bible is just going along, telling about sin and wickedness and the political show of that day. And then all of a sudden, boom, Elijah steps out on the scene. And the Lord told Elijah to go and tell King Ahab that there will not be rain according to his word for however long. There's not going to be any dew, no rain, no honeydew, no mountain dew, no dew is going to happen until he says it's going to happen. Now, I want you to understand that it doesn't say who Elijah is, but we now have the that we're conditioned to know who he is, those of us who read our Bible. Anyway, let me move on. And he tells the wicked king that there will be no rain except by my word. And let me tell you that without rain, a very severe drought showed up. A drought into the point that people began to die. Now you need to understand here that God wasn't trying to punish the people. He was trying to get them to turn away from their sin and turn away from the things that were constantly destroying them and bring them back to us. Can I tell you that some of us, we think that it is God that is punishing us, and it is your own decision and the circumstances of your own decisions. That's why God said, but God, that's why God was telling us that if you want to have a good marriage, that you ought to stay pure until marriage. Help me, somebody. That God was telling you that if you don't have to worry about what lie you told to whom, just tell the truth. That's why the Bible was telling you that if you just be who God called you to be, you ain't got to wonder and worry about who you were the last time somebody saw you. See, I'm telling you that I try to be the same whether I'm in church or whether I'm in the grocery store. I just try to be who I am. I've tried to be other people, but I can die a cheap copy of somebody else, or I can be the original Ronnie Reed, and there ain't no Ronnie Reed like Ronnie Reed. Help me, somebody. See, we understand that that point number one, that there was no rain because of the condition of sin in society. We're wondering where God is. I'm just appalled at how many people ask where God is in all of the tragedies that are happening around. Where was God? Well, why don't you ask him that when things are going good? Why don't you let him in? You said, listen to me. Can I tell you why abuse don't happen in my house? Because God reigns in my house. That's why abuse don't happen in my house. And if God reigned everywhere, then everybody would understand the sanctity of life. Everybody would understand understand authority, and they would understand to do what you're supposed to do and obey the laws of the land and so forth and so on. If you would just do what you're supposed to do. And God there, listen to me today, that if you're in sin and playing religion, you're in a bad place. I'm going to say it again. That if you're in sin and just playing religion, you're in a bad place. The drought got so bad that people began to die. But even while in drought, God was still providing and doing miracles for those that sought after him. Seek him while he may be found. Glory to God. Somebody hear me. In chapter 18, God speaks to Elijah, says, go show yourself again to King Ahab. And in chapter 18, verse 19, Elijah says that God's nation has been serving false gods, and it's time to see who the real God is. And he said, gather all the backslidden nation of Israel. And Elijah said, get Jezebel's prophets, all 850 of them, and those prophets, and it's time for a showdown. It's time to see who God is God. And then we understand that. So let me give you a recap. It was 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah against one prophet of God. But if you could ask Elijah, he would say that any time that you have God on your side, no matter what the odds, you're in the majority. I know some of you think that there's so many against us and we're the minority in the nation, but I've come by to tell you that as long as God is on your side, you are a majority. I don't care if everybody turns against you. I don't care if everybody declares that you're not who God says you are. As long as you hold on to God's unchanging hand, you are a majority. If you're struggling with cancer and it doesn't look good, the prognosis is not good, stand with God, because God is bigger than your prognosis, and God is God. Come on, somebody. If your marriage doesn't look good, get God involved and become the majority instead of the minority. So they all gathered on Mount Carmel. And Elijah says, here's what it's going to do. Verses 23 through 24. Gather all your prophets of Baal and prepare a sacrifice, and I'll do the same. And we will put the sacrifice on the altar, but the God who answers by fire shall be God. We'll pray each to our own God. And whoever answers by fire, that's who we'll serve. We will declare the God who answers by fire to be the true God. So in verses 26 through 29, they did all they could. And the prophets of Baal and Asherah began to beat themselves and cut themselves. And man, I like Elijah. Because Elijah begins to talk smack. I like Elijah. Elijah began to ask the prophets, where is your God? Maybe he's gone to the bathroom. Read it. That's what it says. See, some people are offended by what I say and don't even realize it's in the Bible. Maybe he's gone to the bathroom. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's gone on a long journey and don't know. I mean, this man is mocking 850 against one. That fella has some moxie. Can you say amen? So, but then they turn it over to him and he rebuilds the altar. Now that's key. He rebuilds the altar and he prays a 63-word prayer. He pours water on the sacrifice. Now listen to me. Some people think the sacrifice was the bull, but the real sacrifice was the water that he poured. Because when you've been in a 3.5 year famine, hell, you can find a bull, but it's hard to find water. He takes barrels of water and pours it on there, and that was the sacrifice. He was saying, I don't need this because my God shall provide. And then he said a 63-word prayer, and the fire fell. It consumed, and not only did it consume the sacrifice, the Bible said it licked up the water that was in the ditch. So Elijah turned to Ahab in verse 41 and says, eat and drink. For there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now I want you to check it right now. There wasn't no rain. But he said there is an abundance of a sound of rain. I hear rain coming. I'm sorry, I hate to be so spiritual on you this morning. But I just got to tell you that I hear the rain even when I don't see the rain. I hear what the Spirit is saying even though my circumstances hasn't changed yet. But I know that it shall because I hear that there is an abundance of rain. I hear the rumblings of God doing something in our life, in your family, in your mind, in your heart, in your emotions. I hear God about to do something, even though it has yet to come to pass. Okay, so here's what I need you to notice. The fire had fallen, declaring that the true God was God, but they were still in drought. Woo! Thank you, Lord, for the miracle. But I'm still in drought. Just because you got one miracle, think you out of drought. You ain't out of drought yet. You just got a miracle. God must be pleased with me because I'm out of drought. No, you ain't out of drought yet, baby. You just got a miracle. God performed a miracle. And there's a sound of rain, but there is no rain. There had been no rain or even clouds, one theologian said, for 3 years. Now, here's my question, point number two. What is your drought? What is your drought? And I know the story might seem not to correlate or connect with us today, but there are people in here today that you're in a drought of your soul. You're in a drought, maybe in your walk with God. Maybe you're in a drought, maybe you're in a dry place called depression. Maybe you're in a drought in addiction. Maybe your drought today is not being able to get over the hurt that happened to you years ago, and you can't just walk on and get on and live. You take three steps forward, but it seems like that hurt causes you to stop. There's a wall there. I'll tell you there's a drought there, but I've come by this morning to tell you that I hear that there's an abundance of rain. The scary thing is that you can be doing great in the condition in your money. And you can be doing great in the condition of your health or your job performance in your marriage, but be in a dry place in your soul. And your heart is empty. Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, contraire. I've been there. I've been the pastor of this church, church growing, everything going right. I should be on top of the world, but dealing with depression, dealing with whether or not God had called me, dealing with whether or not God was through with me. I know what I'm talking about. Empty in your soul. You're just dry. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. If you can relate, you understand what I'm saying. Maybe not everybody has ever been there, but I know what it is to still be in the house of God, in the presence of God, but still feel a drought in your soul. And that's a scary thing. But let me tell you, no matter how successful your ministry or successful your business is, there is still, whatever you want to call it, there is still, in your soul is dry and your heart is empty, nothing is going to fill that void. If that's where you are, nothing will fill it. No amount of money, no amount of prestige, nothing. So human nature, we start trying to replace the dryness that only God can fill with other things. Some try drugs. Some try relationship after relationship. Some try reckless sexual encounters. Some try the newness of a relationship with work, and it may work for a little while and make it a little bit better, but you keep going through this cycle, and you go a cycle after cycle after cycle after cycle, because you're looking to something that only God can do. You're looking for somebody to fill the emptiness, to fill the hole, but only God can do it. Money will work for a moment. But why don't you interview Heath Ledger? Interview Anna Nicole Smith, Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson. The only thing they can fill that void and bring rain to a soul and an empty heart is Jesus Christ. Some in this place today, maybe you're not in a dry season or an empty heart. You might love God, but just be out of step or out of rhythm. Oh, did you hear me? Out of step or out of rhythm. When you're out of step, you feel like you're always struggling to keep up when it's easy for everybody else. But it's possible to get out of rhythm with God even while you love Him. Come here, Anthony. Come here. Get on the drums for me. Oh, I like that. Yeah, a little jog. See, when you're young, you can do that. When you're old, you can't really do that. When you're old, you just sashay. But when you're young, you sprint. Hallelujah. Come on, give me a beat. Just give me a beat. See, for those who have rhythm, that's easy. But have you ever felt like you just... You ever just feel like you can't quite get into rhythm? Most of the white people in this church, that's right. You ever sit by somebody who don't clap on the right one? Come on, kid. And and everything goes good, but you're just out of rhythm. You just can't get in rhythm. And then it seems, come, keep on. And then it seems, keep on. You can't keep rhythm long? Come on. And then it just seems like. See, it's terrible. See, I'm messing him up now. But once you get in rhythm, see, what happens is you feel like you're out of rhythm. It's possible, and there are those in here today, that you're at this place and you're simply out of rhythm with life. And it seemed like everybody else is easy. Well, look, it's easy for them to serve God because their life is easy. Because they're in rhythm. They're in rhythm with God. Hear me, somebody. They're in rhythm with God. And the more that I stay in rhythm with God, the better my life is. Come on, somebody. The better my life is. You see, you know, you just don't quite feel like you fit in or you're in step. Let me explain it another way. You ever been, you know, I remember we used to have Royal Rangers when I was a kid. And we would march, and then they would do a cadence, like left, 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 right, left, 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 right, left. You got to get home on your left, you're right. You got to get home on your left, you're right. And they'd do these cadences. And we would do those, but I remember some kids in my troop, left, left, right, left, 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 right. You understand what I'm saying? So what would they do? They wouldn't stop and tell the person doing the cadence, get in step with me. They wouldn't stop and tell their leader, hey, you're out of step. No. They would change their step, they would change, they would jump, they would leap, they would stutter, and get in step with the one given the cadence. You can't be out of step with God and keep blaming God for why you're out of step. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Now we got good musicians, but every once in a while, I will see that they get a little bit too fast or on a song. And Arthur will look at me because I stare a hole in him. And I'll look at him and start clapping. Slow it down. Because I know that if the drummer slows down, everybody else has got to slow down or they're going to be out of beat. Are you listening to me? Quit trying to tell God to speed up or slow down because God's got the rhythm of life. He said, baby, you better stay in step with me. Hey, my roshikata. Oh, but pastor, you don't understand. Come here, Tony. Pastor, you don't understand. I'm hurt and I cannot walk like I once did. That's when Jesus gets along beside you and begins to help you walk and helps you stay in the step with him, because God said, I'll never put more on you than you're able to stand up under, bear up under, that you are able to deal with. If you can't keep in step, you've got to have Jesus to help you stay in step. You can be in a place where God is moving people all around you, shouting, giving God praise and honor, and you're wondering what they're shouting about. You can say things like, oh, that ain't necessary. You're right, but boy, if God did in you what he did to me, I can't help but give him praise. I can't act like he ain't never done nothing for me. I can't act like a bump on a pickle. Uh-uh. You see, you can be out of rhythm with your spouse and feel like it's time to move on. But my God wants you to get in rhythm. Come on, somebody. See, the truth is, it's not time for you to move on. It's just, in most cases, you're out of rhythm. You know, a lot of times when a musician or drummer gets out of rhythm or off beat, it's because that they've gotten distracted. Over in the old church, little church over here, it was Ian Lee and Stephen Gwaltney was my worship team. And they were about 16, 17 years old, and they were my musicians. And I had kind of turned it loose to Steve, and I was leading worship. But they had got distracted by this something over here on the left named Dee Dee and Heather, who now they're married to. But they were just, you know, they were just sweetening them up then. And they got distracted and they was out of rhythm and out of step. So I took the microphone away from my mouth and I turned around. And I looked at them and I said to them without the microphone, I said, get it together or get off the stage. Shut up. And they went, quit looking at the distraction. You didn't hear me. I said they quit looking at the distraction and started looking at the one who was leading them, which was me at the time. And if you would quit looking at the distractions and start looking to the one that will be leading you in life, he will get you in rhythm. I'm believing today that somebody's going to get their rhythm back. Somebody's going to get their groove back. Come on, somebody. They're going to get to groove. It's not that you don't love God or desire him. You're just out of rhythm. And when you get out of rhythm with him, your boss, it's tough to keep working for him. When you get out of rhythm with your spouse or your leadership or your pastor, it's hard to stay. Our text said in Isaiah, there was a cloud. First Kings chapter 18. There was a cloud that was as small as a man's hand, but there was no rain. So we have Elijah on the mountain after the fire had fallen, and he turns to King Ahab and he says, get down, because God said there was going to be rain. Listen to me, anytime God gives you a word like he did to Elijah, when he said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, now I want you to catch this. When he told, God said, I'm about to rain, and Elijah hears this word. Your adversary, I think I have this. Do I have this mic? Yes. Your adversary will always try to make the beginning of that miracle seem insignificant and try to get you to give up right before it begins to take place. Ah. He told his servant, go look up on the mountain and see if you see a cloud. He went up there. He come back and he said, no, sir. He said, go again. I know I heard from God. He goes back a second time. Comes back, nope. He said, boy, I know I heard from God. You better go back up there. And I wonder, at some point in time, did Gehazi start going, Lord, you want to let me see something? Because I'm tired of coming back up and down here. But thank God, he didn't lie to the man of God. He come back for six times and go, nope, 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 nope. He said, go again. I just know human nature. Gehazi, going back up the mountain. He's like, I'm sick and tired of going up this mountain. I don't know why he can't go up and get up and go for himself. I don't know why. Because I'm tired. Lord Jesus. And he began to look. I don't see nothing. What is that? ain't but about my size. So he goes back and he tells the man of God. He said, all I see is a cloud the size of a man's hand. And Gehazi, and Elijah goes, shoot. No, he didn't. He said, that's all I needed to hear. And he began to shout on the beginning of what he knew was going to be a downpour. My God, somebody hear me. I know what God said, and I'm just going to go ahead and shout on credit. I'm going to go ahead and shout even though it's small, but I know that it has started, so I'm going to shout and the rest of it can come on. Elijah jumps up, takes off running down the mountain. And this is always a good shouting point. Because he outruns the horses. Joker, that joker flying. I mean, listen, I won't call myself a runner. I'm a jogger. And a jogger is a part of a person who jogs and walks. And I check my speed. A friend of mine. We were on the same running app, and he's put one of his running apps on there. He said, you know, so-and-so just completed a run. And it was like 8 miles an hour. And I was like, dog, I'm just trying to do 4. I'm just trying to stay between 4 and 5, 3. Come on, somebody. I'm just trying to stay there. I get tired of looking at him. He's my age, and he's running 8 miles an hour. So I showed him. I put my app on running app and got on my bicycle. Said I was doing 13 miles an hour. It's like, yeah, I'm going to send that to you, Jack. All I've heard was silence. He ain't said nothing. I can't wait for him to see it and say something to me. He's a lot thinner than I am, too, but anyway. Here's what I want you to take. Our text in Isaiah, it says something as the rain, verse 10, as the rain came down, as the rain, for as the rain comes down, as it comes down, how did the rain come? Because there was a cloud. Are you listening to me? There's a cloud. In your situation, start looking for the cloud. Some of you looking for complete deliverance, just start looking for anything. Looking for anything to praise him. Oh, I see a cloud. It ain't here yet, but oh, Lord, I know what God has said. Listen, because there is a cloud, the rain comes to water the earth. So rain doesn't start out in the sky. It starts out on the ground. Those of you who know anything about weather, it absorbs the rain, and it comes up, and then it might hover over here a little while, but then it deposits itself down on the ground. So could it be possible that your worship, as it goes up, creates the rain clouds? Could it be possible that as it turns into this water that goes up, turns into vaporous gas, which is lighter than the atmosphere. My God, somebody hear me. I can't skip this because I read this and I gotta give it out. I learned this about this. That it turns into vaporous gas, which is lighter than the atmosphere, and it causes it to rise up into the sky. See, many of us want to receive a blessing. He said, it's coming, and I'm just going to wait on it. No, that's not how it works. The water on the ground doesn't say, I'm just going to sit here. No, I'm sorry, I know where I'm going. The water on the ground has to change to a form that is lighter than what it began as. Come on, somebody. You can't keep your heaviness and also experience the rains of God. You exchange the garment or the robe of heaviness for the garment of praise. You let your heaviness transform into something lighter, which is your praise. And as it goes up, it fills up the heavens and pours down the blessing of rain back down on you. Before you can experience the rain, you have to transform into a lighter disposition. And that takes place through praise. So the sun starts to heat up. What was on the ground gets hot enough that it transforms and begins to send up. And I feel it heating up right now in this place. And with that gas rises, those little droplets begin to get together and collect in a cloud. And there is where condensation begins, when its gas turns back into water, because it got cold enough and enough little tiny drops get together, they form a cloud, and if the cloud gets heavy enough, it begins to burst, and then the rain begins to fall. Could it be, my Lord, I'm going to lift up my praise in the middle of what I'm going through, because I need a downpour. I need a washing. I need the Holy Ghost to pour out like never before. I would imagine this represents as we praise even during our heaviness, because I believe the atmosphere in America is ripe for revival. I believe that the atmosphere of Crystal River Church of God is ripe for revival. And I even see a cloud. But we have got to send up enough praise and be thankful enough to cause the cloud to get heavy and cause it to rain. Pastor, what are you saying to me? I'm not tracking with you. I'm not good on this Christianese. All right, let me track with you. I'm saying that you need to praise God enough in your situation that it causes the heavens to get heavy with your praise. And as your praise from this and that and over here and that gets together, the downpour begins to come down and the cloud comes together and it opens up over your house and you receive the rain from heaven. The word you initially resist is probably the one you most desperately need. You will receive it when the rain comes. So we release our praise to receive the rain. So now some can't receive rain because we won't release what God is trying to take from you. I'm going to say that again. Some of you can't receive the rain because you won't release what God's trying to take some of you. Some, stand to your feet. Some need to release shame. Some need to release sin. Some need to release grief. And if you can release it, God will send rain. But will you receive the rain? Because some came today asking God to give you a new job. But he's given you a word to stick it out where you are. Will you receive it? Are you catching it? Some of you ask God to deliver you from the debt, but God's saying stick it out because I'm going to teach you something through it. Some are saying I need a new relationship. God said, no, I want you single a while because you haven't fell in love with me yet. Too many want a breakthrough only if it's dressed up in a shortcut. Lord, I want my breakthrough, but I want a shortcut. No, baby. Usually when you shortcut, you short circuit. There are no drive-through breakthroughs. I'm going to stop by and get me a breakthrough. I'm going to show up to church first time in 7 months and get my breakthrough. Well, guess what? You might get a breakthrough today, but if you don't continue on with it tomorrow, you're going to be right back in it. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes God will give you a word for a storm you're not even in yet. Hold on to that word. Hold on to that word. I see a cloud. And it's beginning to sprinkle. And the only way for it to rain is if we continue to send a praise, to send a worship. Let go of what's keeping you from heating up. We have to be transformed today. I know with all that's within me and many, that many in here are in need. I know that many in here are bound by things. If you're in a godly relationship, some of you love God with all of your heart, but keep giving things that you know you don't need to be involved in. You keep getting into these things. God is still a God of purity. No matter how your adversity wants to dress it up, no matter the reason for this reason of a sin in your life, sin always brings separation. But I want to say to you today that there's a cloud of forgiveness. There's a cloud of grace. There's a cloud of reconciliation. There's a cloud of deliverance. There is a cloud of healing. There's a cloud of mercy desiring to rain down on you if you would just come to yourself and realize that I'm in a place where I need God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There is a cloud. I see a cloud. The grace of God will help you get your rhythm back. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I give you my word, I won't embarrass you, but you don't know Jesus, but you want to, lift up your hand now. Pastor, I need to know him as Savior. Anybody in this room, I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. I see that hand. God bless you, ma'am. And maybe you're here, you say, Pastor, I love God, but I'm out of rhythm. And I need the grace of God to help me get back into rhythm. Come on, lift your hand. Lift your hands all over this room, all over this room, all over this room. Hands are up all over this room. Here's what I want you to do. Look up here at me. I want to pray for that one that raised your hand for salvation. Everybody pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me and make me whole. That I may know you, not only as God, but Lord, Savior, and Father. So this day, I give my life to you. I will never be the same again. By your blood, in Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God praise in the house.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.